Thursday, December 11th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we're going to be in the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 10, looking at verses 32 through 39 with a message titled, Called to Endurance.
It's a beautiful thing that is here set out in Hebrews chapter 10 that God uses means, and He preserves us through this grace that He gives to us, this grace of endurance through His refinement of us. Through His refinement of us, He gives us a grace that we have to constantly realize we are in need of. For when we lose sight of this great need as Christians, it's easy to lose course. It's easy to lose sight of what we're aiming for in this life.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn this morning to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And speaking with Pastor Contreras, and since I thought that we've been working through Matthew, we'll pick that up again at the beginning of a new year. We take a break from that this time. We're going to come back to Hebrews chapter 10, and we felt the need to remember this great call for endurance. And so I'm going to be looking at Hebrews 10, page 1194, and verses 39 through the end of the chapter. It's the word of the Lord. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession, an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. There ends this morning the reading of God's word. Well, this is a very special section in the book of Hebrews as it really comes to the application portion of the book. And it really does give us a proper perspective on Christian life and what the Christian life is and the challenges of it. One would think that in coming to Jesus and that having all of this life would be an easy walk for the Christians, and we all know that what we find is exactly the contrary. And at times we don't understand why that is. At times we don't have any sort of perception as to what's happening. We don't think about these things. We are just trying to get through it all to get back to the rainbows and butterfly life that we all think we should have. Well, why so many difficulties? Why so many hardships? Why does this, for God's children, have to be so difficult? And then there are very rocky periods in this Christian life where things come upon us. And the biblical perspective on it all, something like Psalm 90, which is a kind of a shocking perspective, unless we are just fatalists or take the idea that this is all by chance, that Psalm 90 and the scriptures maintain God sent it. God sent it upon you. And that requires questions. That requires thought. That requires spiritual inventory. To think about, in God's providence, why He sends these things. And in good and hard times, we should be sensitive at these moments, in conscience, to His word that is spoken to us. That's how He comes and helps. That's how He comes and remedies. That's how He comes and consoles. That's how He comes and clarifies to the word that is spoken to us. That word comes alongside us in these things and gives us great insight and great reflection and great help. And so in this context, the Lord helps us through these things by describing a need that we have that we rarely speak of, maybe in Reformed circles. We have not spoken enough about this, mainly because we talk about the perseverance of the saints, and we think that's all God's business. Amen. It is God's business. But you come to the book of Hebrews, and he wants us to think about the need for a continuing grace in our lives that we must appeal to, that we must seek after, that we must call upon him for. And that is the grace of endurance. It's a beautiful thing that is here set out in Hebrews chapter 10, that God uses means, and he preserves us through this grace that he gives to us, this grace of endurance through his refinement of us. Through his refinement of us, he gives us a grace that we have to constantly realize we are in need of. For when we lose sight of this great need as Christians, it's easy to lose course. It's easy to lose sight of the ball and what we're aiming for in this life. We all have need of the grace of endurance, and it's not past me that as we come to the close of a year and there's much weariness, that something like this, I'm sure, is much needed for us in the congregation. And with this thought in mind, the author turns now to this crucial subject in the book of Hebrews that addresses what you might call weariness. Weariness. He wants us to think about weariness. It is a big subject in this book. It's an important subject in this book to combat here what we have, the many forms in which weariness comes upon us. And what you'll notice in this section following this in chapter 12 is that he turns us to Christ and he wants us to look at Christ, which is always the goal in this, and to remember and consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. And here's the application of that. As you consider him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. This is a very pastoral book. We went through it three or four years ago. It was so pastoral because that's the aim, is to help Christians through this and to understand Christian life. What is he concerned about? He's concerned about that weariness over time was leading many of them down some kind of, not always the paths we think, but some kind of, in the many different forms it takes, path of departure, exit, distance, giving up on the mission, the calling that he has for them in this life. Did you notice this at the end? The will that he has for you is a will that has been appointed for you. And ultimately, his great concern in the book is a departure from the faith itself, which is called, big theme in Hebrews, apostasy. Knowing the truth of the gospel, receiving the truth of the gospel, knowing it, and then willfully departing from it is apostasy. And the great call of this text, I think, is so powerful in verse 36. He says it's crucial that you don't cast off your confidence, which has great reward. Notice the encouragement to that. And then he gives the summary statement of this whole section. For you have need of endurance. Now, the old school Reformed preaching would take a little phrase like that, and throughout the course of the sermon, they would say it over and over and over and over. I think that's what I need to do today. I need to be old school. You have need of endurance, and just stop every paragraph and say it. Well, I'm not going to do that, but I hope you take that to heart. You have a great need of endurance. You have a great need of the grace of endurance. And notice how he couples that with, you have confidence. Do not cast off your confidence. What is that? It's your confidence in Christ. It's your confidence in Christ, that you rest in him and all that you've heard and all that has been received of what the gospel has said to you. God has given from his resources, from his own resources, his son to you, who met the requirement for you to be right with God. Oh, he gave his beloved son. He is our confidence. He is our life. He is our everything. He is our all in all. Don't cast that off. Now, why would you even get to a place like that? Why would you have to tell Christians, don't do that? Why would you have to get to a place of saying, how easy it is for you. Your eyes are off Christ. Consider him who endured the hostility. Like anything, it's because of weariness that takes you completely away from the focus you once had. And that's why this passage is saying you have a great need in the faith. So his goal is to pastorally encourage them. And the way that he does it is very simply to say, let's look at the past, and then let's look at the present experience, and then let's go to the future. Past, present, future. That's the whole outline of this text, where he does those three things for them, and it's applicable. It's important for you to do the same. He covers the whole of the Christian life. He wants you to think about where you once were, what God did for you, where you are now, and where this is all going. You've got to have hope. You've got to know that. Chapter 10 is extremely important because in this book, it's the great application to what he has been explaining about the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ for us, that he shed his blood for us, that in him we have full forgiveness of sins by the once-for-all atonement that he made. There is no more shedding of blood. That is shed. That blood is shed, and he has atoned for your sins. He has passed through. He is seated. This book covers all that. And so here, he wants us to think about the power of the gospel in the life of the believer. And he had said things. He said, lots of people in this life don't take very serious where the power is. That's why in this chapter, he will say, you need to remember, you get to come with boldness in worship to the throne of grace. You're there right now. You are in the presence of God. You have boldness to come to the throne of grace. And something wonderful is happening. You get your consciences cleansed. That's why we read the law and we confess sins. And if you're hearing that word and you are confessing your sins, he's actually cleansing you. He's actually doing that for you. Your body's washed with pure water, symbolized today in baptism. You maintain the confession of your hope. You get to serve in the body of Christ. But he said, there's people who neglect this. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. They just depart. They see no power in this. They see no place in this. So he's thinking about right response to the gospel and the benefits that we have in Christ. But then he rehearsed this wrong response, that because life is hard, because life's difficult, people often abandon the path they're on. Think of the parable of the sower, where you have those Jesus, I think this is taken right in the author's mind, right from this, where Jesus described that one soil as, for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while. For when tribulation, when it gets hard, or when persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. This is what Hebrews is describing. He's keeping us from that. Knowing the power of the gospel, to abandon it and reject it is apostasy, and we'll see the comfort at the end. God's sheep can't do that. They won't do that. So the book of Hebrews provides us this sort of paradigm for this. What most people do not appreciate is that this entire book roots our existence and compares our existence to Israel in the wilderness. It duplicates it for us, that we are traveling and that we're entering a rest, Hebrews chapter 4, and that we should strive to enter that rest, Hebrews chapter 4, that we are traveling like Israel, and if you've ever studied Israel in the wilderness, it was a weary travel. It was a difficult travel. It was a hard travel. It was full of all kinds of tests. And you have to ask the question, where did those tests come from? In this period of trial, before entering the promised land, see, that's where we are. We haven't entered the new heavens and the new earth yet. We're traveling to it. It's a forward moving, as Paul says, upward call of God in Christ. This life is a testing ground. And the means by which those tests come is the providence of God. As he tests us, Ecclesiastes describes it, there's a time for everything. There's a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. For everything, there's a time. And then you stop and you say, well, I'm always fighting for the time to dance. Right? I'm always fighting for the time to laugh. I'm always fighting for the time to build. I don't want to deal with the tearing down times. I don't want to deal with the affliction and the trial. You know how we answer God's providence in the Heidelberg Catechism. It's the almighty and ever-present power whereby with his hand he still upholds, he's still doing that, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so governs them, that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. That is amazing if you think about it. And sometimes we need to be in tune with what he's doing, lest we're standing in the way. Isn't that true? You realize that hardships, he tests us when we do stand in the way? The sufferings at times are appointed? Until you appreciate this, you have no way forward. I was once listening to a preacher, and there was a very hard circumstance in the life of the congregation. It was a hard death. And I remember his sermon to this day. I was a young kid. I listened to this sermon, and I was shocked by this sermon. He took Psalm 39, and he read this. He preached this. I was silent, and I would not open my mouth. So some great affliction, some great hardship, and then this verse. For you are the one who did this. You did this. Read the old King James. Thou didst this. You did this. Now people rail at that. What kind of God is that? God did this. People need to think at times like this. People who have everything just want the time of dancing. We just want couches. This is what Luther said. It's not fit for Christ to wear a crown of thorns and his people to ride on in the kingdom on couches. And that's why I think at times we can say things seemingly come out of nowhere that we can't explain. All we can say is God in his providence has sent us something, and that what he is telling us is he's moving us forward. If the travel for Israel was all rainbows and butterflies the whole way, they'd never leave that field. They'd never get up and go. We're forward-moving people. We're moving to the promised land. We're moving to glory. And here the book of Hebrews says, yeah, they're in a season of real weariness as a body, as a people. feel like giving up. They looked at the situation they're in, the hardships, the sufferings, the following of Christ, and they said, we don't see this working. We don't see the light in this. We don't think, in the context of the book, new covenant worship is exciting. We can't see him. Give us something sensory. And this is where Protestants have fallen into the very danger of Roman Catholics, who've wanted a great experience and to make things sensory and to make it all about the grandiose of it all. Old Testament types, at least we saw, we touched, we handled, you know. What is this? And you know, the long, prolonged struggles, weariness comes. So what does he do? He says, go back for a minute with me and consider your life. It's powerful. Verse 32, recall your former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. That's a remarkable statement. That is really a powerful statement. Recall what you went through a long time ago and recall the light you had in that. That's how you've always faced your hardships. God's always given you help. God's always given you light. And you've forgotten that. Recall your early days. You've been brought through a lot. Now, if you all went through the course of your lives, you forget maybe, or there's some circumstance you just can't forget, and you know how painful it all is. But the life that you've walked, the course that you've walked, has been full of this. How did you ever get through it before? That's what he wants them to think about. You've, by grace, been brought through a lot. And he rehearses some of it. He says, you've forgotten what God brought you through. In your former days, you were publicly exposed to reproach and affliction. Has anyone here been publicly, for their faith, exposed to reproach and affliction? That's quite a testing. And sometimes partners with those so treated. And he says, I recall how many of you, in the next phrase says, had compassion on those in prison.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for tuning in to us here at Abounding Grace Radio. Be sure to tune in next time to hear part 2 of this message from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time.